Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat. And ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
Hey, Internet, and welcome once again to another edition of Geek Cave Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
Oh, welcome to the fantastic gaming segment. Just go ahead and put your quarter up. We'll let you know when it's your turn. In the meantime, want to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today, with free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything Geek Sheet. Whether you're a fan of old-school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or something in between, or you're like us and you like all of those things, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, your destination for new and used video games, with membership options for every budget, plus their store has Lego products,
yay,
and some of the most popular arcade 1-Up cabinets. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, just send it back with the postage paid envelope for a new one, easy peasy, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. They'll even send you the box and everything that came with it. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com, which, by the way, you can find links to our social media on there, our Discord, which if you are a member of the Discord, you get to chat with us and pitch show ideas, topic ideas. Sometimes those will be used. Other times, we'll just be polite.
Maybe.
Oh, boy. All right, gentlemen. How is it hanging since yesterday?
To the left.
I guess that's fair.
To the right.
Up, up, down, down. If anyone gets that, you officially lived in the 80s. Chad.
Check it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby.
Welcome to Demo Derby, where I get crushed by a seemingly endless stream of crappy demos to what promised to be good games. Yesterday, I played Starlight, Defender of Justice. As far as I'm concerned, this game has three things going for it. It has a delightful multi-minute narration over a title screen to tell you what's going on and why you're playing the game that you can turn up and then go do something else. It's got excellent roof design, and your agent's ID number is great. Beyond that, it's shit. And I am simply thrilled that I only had to play it for about 5 minutes before I died and declined to hit continue on the game over screen. Supposedly, I played as a member of Starlight, the elite PsyOps warriors set to take down the Cyrons, an alien force that annihilated one-third of the planet with a pandemic. Because it's topical, I guess?
Sure.
That information, that sentence I just gave you, that's everything you need to know for the context of the game. That's given to you in a narration on the title screen that takes 2 minutes. 2 minutes. There's no movie. There's no cutscene. There's no character generation. All you've got is you can listen to it or you can skip it and not know what's going on. That's it.
All right.
That's what you got. You sit there and you listen to the 2 minute exposition. Listen to it.
Exposition, exposition. Na, 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 na.
Now, the game itself is kind of a top-down hack and slash with some shooter elements. But instead of being actually top-down like old Grand Theft Auto top-down, this is more isometric, like kind of a Fallout 1 thing. Except instead of being isometric off at like a 45-degree angle, it's just you just tilt everything. Like instead of being top-down, just move a little bit to down toward the screen, which is great, except if you're fighting a zombie next to a building and the building doesn't go transparent so you can see what you're fighting. Instead, you get to admire the attention to detail that has been put into the rooftops of the world. That's what you get to do. And so then you get to back up and let the zombies come to you. And don't worry, you'll get a lot of chances to do that because, well, you're an elite warrior. And so in the opening level of the game, one would expect a single zombie to give you no trouble. Well, I didn't die from it, but I'm pretty sure that whatever sword I'm using was made out of freshly boiled pasta because it took a ridiculous amount of time to kill that single zombie. It turns out there were some power-ups that I collected, but there was no information on how to equip or use those power-ups. So all I was really doing was slapping those zombies around like a pimp on his first day. I died
did,
when...
Did you at least use your ring hand?
I don't know. I died...
So you're... I guess if it's your first day, you don't have rings yet.
No.
My character died when three of them ganged up on me, and I have never been so happy. Not even the demo, but my agent's number being 69. Nice.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. I'm sorry, Chad.
Eh.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
Anything.
You did sacrifice time.
Anything for the listeners.
Yeah.
Almost. Almost anything for the listeners.
Okay. Justin.
Yes.
I know that you've been spending some time isolating. Have you spent any of that time on Reddit?
Actually.
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. Get my papers caught up.
I was about to say, theater of the mind, folks. Yes.
So this month's question is, which Battlefield should I get? Well, Battlefield Earth. I know it's not everyone's favorite, but it's the first in the series, so it's a great jumping on point. And with talents such as John Travolta and Forrest Whitaker involved, you know the acting is high caliber, even if the story is lacking.
I feel we should point out that it's even funnier that Justin forgot to remind us that he gets these questions from Ask Games.
Yes.
So it could have been any Battlefield he was talking about. It didn't even matter.
That's true. I did forget to mention that while I don't play many games, I do have a wide breadth of knowledge that I think would be useful in a little segment I like to call something that happened a couple minutes ago.
No. You know what? It's fine. You still managed to pick the worst Battlefield answer you possibly could have.
I've been hopped up on NyQuil for the last week, so, you know.
I mean, really, and you went with the movie. Like, you could have gone with the book and had an interesting kind of thing, but the movie, that movie had so many Dutch angles that the directors of the 1960s Batman series said, you know, maybe you should bring it back to vertical.
Oh. I said it wasn't everybody's favorite.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Nobody's but as, favorite. Nobody's
but as the first in the series.
I will pop for a Batman 60s reference every time. That's great.
Oh, bourgeois.
That was great. Okay. Does anybody have any reviews before I start this sad train going?
Did I talk about HOA last time? H-O-A?
I don't
recall.
Homeowners
associations? To heck with them.
I don't think you talked about HOA or whatever.
Yeah, so as we've pointed out in the past, I recently got a PS5. Thank you, Darren. I've had it for about a month now. And one of the games that I got from Gamefly, thanks Gamefly,
thank
video
you, Gamefly.
Games delivered, yeah. Was a game called HOA, H-O-A. That is how it is spelled. I'm not sure if that's how it's pronounced.
Hwa.
And yes, when looking at it, the first thing I thought of was Homeowners Association. That should have been a red flag.
Mm.
This is a beautiful game. It's got hand-painted backgrounds. You play as this little sprite, like forest fairy sprite kind of thing. You wake up on this little leaf adrift on a lake, and you start your adventure once it hits shore. And your task is to collect... in each level, there are 5 butterflies, and you have to collect them, light up 2 to 3 sacred runes to wake up the ancient forest spirit of that area. And as you go along, you get a little bit more information about the backstory, and you get a power up, and you move on. It's not that overly complicated of a game. Until it suddenly fucking is.
Mm.
So I get to the second to last level. And it is... In this level, as you go along the game, you find out that the forest was overrun by robots. You know, machine
okay.
versus nature.
Sure.
Well, this one robot apparently defected and saved you and made sure that you got to somebody who could get you away.
Okay.
And you are trying to save him. That is the whole crux of the game. You end up going into a factory. And it's a puzzle-based game, so you got to figure out what to do. Each level gets a little bit harder as you go along, but this
sure.
one was a little too much because at one point you have to jump from pivoting ramps. They have a center fulcrum, and they are going up and down, like a seesaw. And you have to jump from one to the other. And the next one is always going just a little bit faster and out of sync. And so on and so forth. Okay, fine. It took me like 10 tries, but I finally got it. Great. The level ends with you running away and escaping, falling unconscious. And then you are in this weird dream-like scenario where you sort of replay the game. Everything is in stark black and white. Okay, it's a little weird. Then you realize that there is a horizontal split in the screen. You are controlling, and you are at what appears to be a lakeside, because you see like the reflection underneath. So you're walking along, and there's a little reflection you walking along mirrored underneath. Then you suddenly can't go any further. There's nothing in your way. And you look down and, oh, the mirror version of you has an obstacle. So you have to shift and look down and jump and figure out. And then the screen starts to tilt until you are completely upside down. Do the controls still work the same way? No, because they work as if you're upside down. So... if you want to go left, you have to push the right button. If you want to go right, you have to push the left button. And you have to jump up to get on a toadstool and then jump the other way to catch a swinging vine. And I thought, okay, muscle memory is screwing me up. I turned the controller upside down, so at least my left and so at least my, you know, okay, I go left, I go right. When I went to jump, muscle memory kicked in, and my jumping thumb kept pushing me forward. I gave up. I stopped. A game that was touted as being calm and relaxing suddenly had me yelling at the TV. I watched the end of it on YouTube, and I was thoroughly disappointed with how the game ended. I don't recommend it.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that you had that experience.
Anything that makes you think of a homeowners association, don't go near it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Chad?
Nope. I have not had time.
That's
it
fair.
Has been, we all... It has been a sad, sad, busy time.
Yeah, I get that. And we all have stuff that comes up. I recently started a new job, so it was tough to get the pile of shame game in, but luckily I had already played a couple of others, so we'll get through those in, well, I'll just say this. The first one was brought to you by Gamefly, and the other one is brought to you by Bad Financial Decisions.
Okay.
Starting with Gamefly, that's where I got Pokemon Brilliant Diamond for the Nintendo Switch. I'm a Pokemon fan. I haven't played the new one yet, even though it leaked onto the internet a week before it was supposed to come out, and eventually everyone got to play it. Turns out it's pretty good. But I did play Pokemon Brilliant Diamond, which is a remake of the handheld version, but for the Switch, with brighter graphics. Prettier graphics, I should say. I guess they're brighter, too. Depends on the brightness settings of your DS. And kind of a revamped experience system, which got a lot of people angry. See, the way that this game normally works is if you fight and defeat another Pokemon, then whatever creatures you were using at the time gained experience. But if you didn't use a creature like that's on your roster, but you didn't actually bring it into the battle, it doesn't gain any experience. And what I like to call, oh, you mean I'm going to have to level up this stupid bird for 30 hours before I get to a slightly cooler looking bird?
Can't you just take it to the daycare or something?
There, see, I should have, because there is actually a daycare option. Little did Justin know. But no, in this one...
I've played the Pokemans, I know about the daycares.
In this one, you get experience share. So everything in your party gets experience points after every battle. And after you capture a Pokemon and stuff like that. And people complained and said it was too easy. And here I am, someone approaching my 40s who barely has any spare time, thinking, this is freaking great! Finally, I get to find out if that little blue mouse thing actually looks like a badass later on, and thus I'll want to use it, or if it continues looking like a sad lump of trash with mouse ears. Spoiler alert, it looks more like the mouse, but now is wearing pants. Yeah, no, unfortunately not. Oh my god, now I'm thinking of like a Disney meets Pokemon game, and I'm losing my mind a little bit.
Well, I was gonna say, they've already crossed over with Final Fantasy. I was wondering, yeah, if they were going to cross over with Mortal Kombat next.
Oh my gosh,
everybody else, no, has.
That's true. Thinking of the Pokemon analogy, you've got The line of evolution is Max to Goofy to Powerline. It just works. Oh. Now, anyway, it's fine. It's another Pokemon game. Is the formula tired?
Louie to Donald to Scrooge. I mean, it works,
yes,
mate. It works.
It does. It does. I don't know the name of the kid, but so we'll say Tiny Tim to Mickey to Mortimer.
Ha cha cha.
That's a deep pull, everyone. No, Oswald to Mickey to Mortimer.
Yes, Oswald. There you go. Yes.
Oh boy, we could have fun with that. Hey, Discord, get on that. But the formula's kind of tired at this point, so, you know, it loses a little bit of the luster. But if you're someone like me and you only need to play this for a little bit at a time, just because you know, got some time to kill, play it in handheld mode, it's fine for what it is. It's not going to be like a mind-blowing experience unless it's absolutely your first Pokemon game. But for what it is, it's still pretty serviceable. So, yeah, give it a look. Give it a rental through Gamefly.
Video games delivered.
Now on to bad financial decisions. The Steam Winter Sale happened last month.
You should really stop opening up that particular server.
Yeah.
You would think, and yet here I am. Well, you know, it's because of the Steam Sale that we have the pile of shame. So, you know, let us not take it for granted.
True.
But I bought a game because it had overwhelmingly positive reviews, and it was like $3, and I used Chad's logic, where if it's less than $10, I can hate a game for that much. So let's talk about Risk of Rain 2. Why 2? Well, I couldn't find the original. So Risk of Rain 2 basically is... okay, do you guys remember... I'm trying to remember if it was called Rogue Legacy. It was that castle game where you had like this weird quirk and then you die and you come back and the castle will reset.
Rogue Legacy. Yeah.
Okay. Take away all of the fun. Now, make it a three-dimensional shooter, so behind your back, where the camera is. Ramp up the difficulty. And, oh, this is the best part. You can set your difficulty level at the beginning of each run, but the longer it takes you to complete a run, the higher the difficulty will ramp up anyway. So you crash land on this alien planet, and you've got 5 levels, essentially, to get through. The goal is simple. Find the teleporter. Where's the teleporter? Hell if I know! It's a roguelike! You're gonna have to find it. And the longer it takes you to find that teleporter, even if you've got the game on easy, there's a sliding scale on the upper right-hand corner of the screen that slowly moves from easy to medium to hard to very hard. So you get all of the joys of anxiety just right there on demand. The gun plays fine, you know? Although the guns feel a bit weak, I think that's by design. Speaking of design, the creatures that you have to deal with are very creative, ranging from flaming skulls, hello Ghost Rider, to I'm pretty sure that's a frog in a suit of armor. And no, this is not a Chrono Trigger reference. But, you know, at the end of the day, I feel I got $3 worth out of it, but I don't think I'm going to be revisiting. I played it for 7 hours. I got to the last level once. And each run takes, you know, about 10, 12 minutes or so. But I got to the last level once, and I couldn't figure out how to get in the goddamn spaceship and complete the level. So I'm just going to go ahead and consider it beaten and call it a day.
Yay!
Yay!
Don't play Risk of Rain. All right.
Two.
Yeah, I can't speak for the original.
Kent!
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
Okay, gentlemen. Now, in the comic segment, go back and listen to that, everyone.
Hold on.
Thanks. I took you back in time. I took you back to 1941 before bringing you forward. Now I'm going to take you back to 2001. I remember 2001. Kinda, vaguely, sorta. I was just entering college. Everything looked optimistic, and Microsoft had announced that they were going to be bringing out a console that looked like the size of a small particle accelerator, and when you turned it on, sounded like one.
But it worked.
The Direct Xbox, a name that just rolls right off the tongue, like Farfig Newton. One, they needed a better name. Two, they needed a product that would actually work, because at the Consumer Electronics Show in 2001, they brought it on stage, and it didn't turn on. Three, And most importantly, they needed a game. They needed a reason for you to buy this large monolith of a device, and not just because it looked like it could beat up the PS2. It needed to be something that actually could outpace the PS2 in gameplay. So Microsoft did what Microsoft always does. They stole something from Apple. Let's talk about Halo.
Nah.
Halo was developed by Bungie and was a launch title for the original Xbox. When I say developed by Bungie, I mean that Bungie was actually making it for the Apple Mac line of computers. Imagine Halo on Mac instead of on Microsoft's console. Things would have been very, 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 very different. In fact,
yeah,
a whopping,
everything was just one click.
Yeah, I mean, a whopping dozen people would have played it. I say this as someone who enjoys Apple products. But, you know, every generation of gaming does have that one linchpin title. Every successful console has, anyway. Well, the Xbox hasn't won a generation yet, but they did win in the one space that counted, and that was money, which allowed them to purchase Bungie, and it made sure that the Xbox was more of a competitor with Sony and less of an Atari Jaguar 2 The Reckoning. So, Halo Combat Evolved finally proved that the first-person shooter worked as a genre on consoles. At least that's what Microsoft says in their own documentary. Don't talk about GoldenEye. Don't look at GoldenEye. I'm not talking about GoldenEye, even though it came out 4 years earlier. Shut the fuck up. It's Halo. You play as John 117, but you don't know that yet because your character's name isn't mentioned at all
117.
In the first game.
John 117.
Anyway, you're woken up from cryo sleep while your ship, the Pillar of Autumn, is under attack from a group of alien religious fanatics called the Covenant. They're convinced that humanity is a scourge that must be wiped out. So you have to go from Chief Sickle to a version of the Terminator that talks less and somehow has more personality and in a hurry. And while Steve Downes does a great job at voicing the Chief, seriously, go back and listen to episode 120 for our interview with him. Hi, Steve. And the rest of the voice cast does keep up nicely, visually. Well, let's just say it looked good in 2001 and kind of leave it there. Now it looks like everything else you last saw in 2001. Blurry, flat, and only kissable with copious amounts of alcohol. Definitely play the remastered version is what I'm saying on current hardware, unless you want your eyes to bleed. I mean, we don't shame people here. The good news is the gameplay, you know, the most important part, it still feels great. I went back and I revisited it. Yes, it's slower than what came afterward, but the gunplay is satisfying. It's still fun as hell to drive a big military Jeep all over the place with some super wonky physics. Enemies still offer a challenge, especially the heavily armored brutes. It's not all great, though. This game is massively weighed down once you encounter the Flood. Think space zombie jellyfish.
Okay.
Yeah. They show up and the library mission, it's called a library mission, but it's really just vast empty corridors. But anyway, that's both super tense and super annoying because of just how long it can drag on. So, gentlemen, if you've never dealt with the Flood in Halo or the library mission, I have a thought exercise for you. Picture Black Friday shopping before the pandemic, but it's only the extreme cases you see on the news. Now, half of the shoppers are either shirtless or headless. One of them weighs 500 pounds and explodes on contact. And you happen to have the last potty time Elmo in the entire store.
So it's at Walmart.
Sure. Now, if that sounds intense, just repeat that combat experience without any ammo restocks and nowhere to hide or find cover for 15 consecutive minutes.
Sounds not fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the worst part of the whole game. The good news is everything before and after is great, but the library section, you know, ugh. The final boss, I almost forgot to mention, and that's by design because the final boss is so forgettable. I forgot who the hell I just fought minutes after I fought him. But the aftermath is where it's at. The aftermath is like you are in the middle of an 80s heavy metal music video. You're shooting a bunch of stuff. There is explosions everywhere. You're activating a self-destruct sequence on the massive space station, and you drive one of those wonky jeeps as you make your escape while some badass guitar plays in the background. So, did I enjoy revisiting this game? Absolutely. There is a reason that sci-fi first-person shooters are called Halo clones. This game introduced numerous innovations to the genre that are still being used to this day. And it won in 2001 the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences, Electronic Gaming Monthly, and IGN Game of the Year Awards, which is what got it on this list. Because for those of you keeping score at home, this is the year of the games of the year for the Pile of Shame. Plus, it also gave us the Red versus Blue video series, which is just hilarious and worth tracking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you haven't played Halo yet, trust me, this is the game that got me into shooters, and I've never looked back. With all that being said, for Kent Harris, Justin White, Chad Savage, I'm that other guy. Thanks a lot for listening to the gaming segment. Be sure to check out the movie segment and go back and listen to the comic segment. You can also find me and my wife on YouTube for the Deep Cave podcast on Retromantics. Also, I do some other stuff on YouTube and Twitch under Deep Cave Plays. Chad also streams on Twitch, Deep Cave Podcast 2.
Un poquito.
And you can also find us on all of your favorite podcast services, including now Good Pods, in addition to all of the other big ones. And, of course, everything else is at dcavepodcast.com, including a link to our Discord server. We'd love you to join. Until then, thanks a lot for listening. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.